This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Show 86% are against, with 14% in favor. Over the next 2 weeks, the Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce will advocate on the behalf of Decatur through their various marketing channels. The chamber encourages residents to help educate those around you on the ramifications of the proposed amendment. To see the chamber's statement on the progressive tax, check out nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
The president reacts to a change in the next debate. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
There's nothing fair about this debate, but that's okay.
After all his interruptions in the first debate, the commission decided for the next one, one candidate will be muted in the opening 2 minutes of a segment as the other answers a question, though no mics will be cut in open discussions. So will President Trump change his strategy Thursday against Joe Biden?
Well, I may do that. Actually, the interesting thing, they said if you let him talk, he'll lose his chain of thought because he's gonzo. And I understand that.
And 2 weeks before the election, President Trump told Fox and Friends a short time ago, the choice is simple.
The American dream, the great American dream versus being a socialist hellhole.
Well, now, while Joe Biden preps for the debate, his Democratic running mate Kamala Harris campaigned in Florida.
Donald Trump would like you to believe everything is okay. Because, you see, his measure of the success of the economy is based on the stock market.
Now, Harris said they worry about working people and again accused the president of lying about the coronavirus. Now, back to the president. It is deadline day set by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on more corona financial aid for Americans before the election.
But I want to do it even bigger than the Democrats because this is money going to people that did not deserve what happened to them coming out of China.
But Senate Republicans don't want to spend as much and plan a vote today to renew small business loans and have other targeted economic stimulus. We also this morning just got news out of the Associated Press on the Justice Department expected to file a lawsuit alleging Google has been abusing its online dominance in online search to stifle competition and harm consumers. It would be the most significant government act to protect competition since the case it attempted to breaking up Microsoft several years ago. America's listening to Fox News.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Republican senators plan to subpoena the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter, who are accused of censorship, blocking people, including Senator Ted Cruz, from sharing news stories about Hunter Biden's emails and business dealings.
We need answers before the election because this is dangerous. It is a real threat to free speech. It's a real threat to our democratic process.
Democrats, including the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, dismissed the Biden story as Russian disinformation, which the Director of National Intelligence says is not true. Now, the emails purportedly come from an abandoned laptop at a Delaware computer shop.
Brand new documents obtained by Fox News appearing to show Hunter Biden's signature approving repair work on his laptop. Now, the paperwork also showing his name in the bill to section. Fox News has not verified that the signature is Hunter Biden's. Hunter's laptop reportedly including emails about his business dealings overseas, which suggests Joe Biden was involved in the business dealings.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. On Monday Night Football, a blowout. The Arizona Cardinals beat up the Dallas Cowboys 38-10 after the Kansas City Chiefs 26-17 win over the Buffalo Bills. The undefeated Tennessee Titans may soon be flagged by the NFL for how the team handled the coronavirus.
According to multiple reports, the Tennessee Titans will avoid major discipline after the NFL's investigation into the team's COVID-19 outbreak that forced the postponement of their game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the rearrangement of the league's schedule. Sources tell Fox News that the Titans will likely get fined, but no one player or personnel member will be suspended. suspended, nor will the team be stripped of any draft picks or forced to forfeit any games. This goes against the initial buzz that grew over harsh penalties coming for the Titans after a report that players were still convening at a Nashville high school to practice together after the club shut down their facilities in accordance with COVID-19 protocols. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Baseball's World Series starts tonight. The Tampa Bay Rays trying to win their first championship against the LA Dodgers, who haven't won it in 32 years. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
When you hear paid for by Friends of Soucheur, that means paid for by Mike Madigan. You see, Soucheur has taken almost $1 million from Mike Madigan over the last 8 years. In fact, almost all of Soucheur's support comes from Madigan and his allies. A vote for Soucheur is a vote to keep Madigan in power. We cannot afford this corruption anymore. Don't let Mike Madigan buy the seat again.
Hi, I'm Charlie McGorry, retired Decatur firefighter, military veteran, former small business owner, and a lifelong resident of Macon County. I remember when Illinois thrived as a state, touting its agriculture, workers, businesses, and more. The last 8 years have been particularly tough, though, under Soucheur, Mike Madigan, and the Chicago Machine. We need to get serious about solving our budget crisis, protecting our small businesses, growing jobs, and fixing ethics in our state government. I'm asking for your vote for me, Charlie McGorry, on November 3rd.
Paid for by Friends of Charlie McGorry.
Cheer.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we've got a chance of some afternoon showers. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with a high near 58. And tonight, showers and thunderstorms are expected. It'll be cloudy with a low around 49. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 64, and Thursday, sunny with a high of 80 and some wind gusts approaching 30 miles per hour. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 45 degrees, and your WSOI time is 8:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, October 20th edition of Byers & Company. Dave Wendt joins us. We'll find out what's happening in Forsyth and a Sweet 16 party that led to 37 infections and 300 people quarantined. One party. What are we going to learn, folks?
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, October 20th edition of Byers & Company. Dave Wendt joins us, one of the village trustees in Forsyth. I got to tell you, Dave, I laughed out loud, not that your email was funny, but when you referred to your economic development coordinator as just Jake, it reminded me of a State Farm commercial.
Yeah, I guess I maybe got too familiar there. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I just saw the red polo, you know what I mean? And he was ready to go. All right.
Yeah, I'll have to tell him that.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. I don't know if this drag racing is a thing, but I know you talked about people contacting you about this. What's happening with this in the park there?
Well, you know, I think every community has to deal with it from one time or another. People get bored and they want to, behave in a way that's not appropriate. So a big shout out goes out to our sheriff's department because, they took the phone calls from residents and phone call and email from me. And it seems like it's eased up a bit. It's one of those, we want to have everybody, welcome everybody to Forsyth and our parks and streets. But we want you to, follow the law and doing about 90 miles an hour down Weaver Road was not appropriate and not something I want to see from my back porch when I see the cars go flying by.
All right. You made that sound like they were all out. Is that the case?
No, I'm just saying that, I'm not making any accusations of whether it's Forsyth kids or adults or outside of Forsyth. I don't know for sure. I just know that the sheriff's department's been busy, that. And then we had a truck lose part of its load on 51 yesterday. So if anybody wondered why you saw forklifts out on driving down 51, it was cleaning up after that.
I got you.
Sheriff's department's been busy.
Okay. Well, there, of course, our law enforcement, I think, across our community does an amazing job, including the sheriff's department.
I can't say enough.
Yeah. And maybe, I hear there's a trial at the end of the month. We'll actually know who the sheriff's going to be.
About the time for the next election.
Yeah, that's just insane to me. But on it goes. All right, what else is going on as far as there's new ownership of the mall? Give me the lowdown on this.
Well, my understanding is the note on the mall property was bought by this new entity, Namdar Properties. So the parent company that owns the mall and other properties around the country had filed for bankruptcy or were preparing to file for bankruptcy. I don't think they had officially filed yet. But before that happened, they sold the mall property to Namdar Properties. If you review their website, they have other open-air malls and traditional closed malls in different areas around the country. So, you know, encouraged to see some you know, action there as far as maybe some new blood, some new ownership. Jake will be busy getting in touch with them and talking to them about how we can work with them on whatever their plans are for the property. So we'll see where we go from there. But I know that's one of the things that ever since I've been on the board, citizens and people like yourself have asked me as far as what's going on with the mall, and we continue to try and encourage, you know, business there however we can.
Well, it's encouraging, right? I mean, there was interest in the property.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's still a valuable piece of property. Our traffic counts are just huge as far as what goes by on 51 as well as what goes by on 72. So, you know, whoever the ownership is, whatever happens with that property, it's still valuable retail property. So
All right. That's
my encouraging side of it or maybe no, optimistic view.
I think that, you know, because it happens so quickly, I mean, there's clearly people who see value long term, which uh-huh. hopefully means a little more creative way of trying to get people, you know, out there to continue to support it. All right. And then I love this. Please don't take this the wrong way. I love small towns and I love the things that you get to deal with as an elected official in small towns. And that means people parking vehicles on the grass instead of a concrete driveway. Please explain to me why the Planning and Zoning Committee was worried about this.
Well, it's one of those things where when you have variance ordinances, we have our development ordinances that cover new development. We have our regular zoning ordinances, and as you go through, different people go through and review those, or as different questions come up about what's okay, what's not okay, or somebody has a complaint about one thing or another, you end up finding inconsistencies between the ordinances. And so as much as we've tried to make it more efficient in our codification, you know, sometimes we have to come back and the procedure that's prescribed in our, you know, our rules is the Planning and Zoning Commission has the public hearing about that, so anybody can voice their opinion, and then they make a recommendation and bring that to the board. So really for this one, it was just making sure in two different parts or two different areas of our ordinances that our definitions and our wording was consistent.
All right, what is a recreational vehicle? What is the new clarification?
Oh, you know, I'd have to it made sure that we defined it as different types of campers, boats on trailers, that, you know, there's a lot more stuff out there when you go to World of Power Sports or other businesses as far as your recreational vehicles so making sure that we had a definition in there that covered all of them.
All right. One thing you guys are addressing, which I think is an important thing the community at large should be looking at, are these donation boxes. You know, I see this stuff, and I've done some, and I'm not going to name any by names, but I've done some research and looking into some of this stuff. You know, sometimes this takes away from helping our own charities here at home. How do these boxes just show up places?
That's part of what we put these special use requirements for them, because literally I've talked to business owners that say that we came in one morning and it was in the parking lot. We don't know who put it there. We don't know who they got permission from, if they got permission. I've done some research myself, and some of these companies are actually for-profit companies. They're not charities or anything like that. So that was an effort that through some discussion that we said, hey, you know, we're not going to charge a fee. We're just going to say we have to have a name and registration and basically register the name and phone number of whoever's putting that box in, so that if there is a overflow that it hasn't been picked up and you've got stuff laying everywhere, or I've seen a few of them that are busted open and just laying there as you know, look more like garbage than donation boxes, that we have a contact number. I don't know if that means that some of these companies won't bother anymore, or if they'll just ignore the ordinance, but then that allows us to remove them legally if they don't follow our procedures.
Yeah, it gives you some teeth. That certainly makes sense. All right, the controversy of the day in Forsyth, tennis versus pickleball.
It's not a controversy.
I'm kidding you.
I'd love to have so many people coming in saying we have so many people wanting to play tennis and pickleball that we need to build some more courts. So the original plan was to build dual-use courts, and then based upon getting some citizen feedback and being flexible and listening, we decided that we'll make the new court that the blacktop is laid, the court painting is down. We're just waiting for the net, and the fencing came in, but we heard from our public works director last night that it was damaged on the truck, so they have to reship the fencing. And then the single court that we had, we're in the process of converting that to be four pickleball courts. So now you won't have any conflict on the dual use courts as far as who gets to use it when. And it'll also be easier because you won't be making net changes or moving equipment on and off and having to store that. So single purpose in this case seems to be the better situation and a good compromise.
I'm just trying to imagine sort of the Hatfields and the McCoys of like the pickleball people and the tennis people showing up and having some sort of Jets and Sharks moment.
Hey, we had two doubles teams from Royal Forsyth High School that took second and third in the state tournament in tennis just over the weekend. So tennis is big, but pickleball, everything I hear, is big and growing as well.
All right. Well, congratulations to them, and well deserved. All right. You also address compensation for village board trustees. Now, you guys will have some seats and some things open in the spring election, correct?
Correct. Three of the board seats will be up for the normal four-year end of term, as well as the mayor will be up for election in the spring. So under state law, if we're going to make any changes to elected official compensation, we have to do that 180 days before the new officials would take office. So we had to have that discussion and that decision, and we decided to leave it the same. I believe David Stroll told us that we haven't changed it since 2008.
What is the compensation for a trustee?
It's a great big $2,500 a year, and you never want to do the math to take that divided by the number of hours that you work, because you'll come out with a very small hourly wage.
Yeah, you're in a deficit probably, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dave, have a great day. Thank you, as always, for the update, and we appreciate it. Dave Wendt, one of the village trustees. Just imagining sort of literally the pickleball people and the tennis people, hopefully no switchblades. All right.
Got a lot going on up in Forsyth.
They're all over it.
They are, legitimately. That was a pretty packed segment.
Thank you. I thought I'd cram as much as I could in there.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, thank you. I want to tell you on the other side of the break about a World War II hero who died over the weekend at the age of 95. But his moment that happened on April 29th, 1945, needs to be remembered and deserves to be recognized as a moment in history. And I think about, you used to think of the old newspaper kind of obituaries, and there was a little flag attached to a veteran, mm-hmm. and you would see fewer and fewer and fewer of those. But this needs a couple of minutes. We also have, I mean, I've got a stack of stuff. I don't know whether I'm going to get to all of it or not. I promise you, we'll get to it eventually. Got a big week ahead. I feel like I'm always starting at a deficit when I have the Monday off, and I've only got 4 days to cram 5 days worth of information in.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to here, folks. We're going to get to all of it that we can, and we'll start all over again at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Back with more after this.
Today we might see some afternoon showers, otherwise it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 58. Tonight we're expecting some rain, maybe some thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy with a low around 49. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 64. And Thursday, sunny with a high near 80 and wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 45 degrees and your WSOY time is 8:19.
When you hear paid for by friends of Sue Scheer, that means paid for by Mike Madigan. You see, Sue Scheer has taken almost $1 million from Mike Madigan over the last 8 years. In fact, almost all of Sue Scheer's support comes from Madigan and his allies. A vote for Sue Scheer is a vote to keep Madigan in power. We cannot afford this corruption anymore. Don't let Mike Madigan buy the seat again.
Hi, I'm Charlie McGorry, retired Decatur firefighter, military veteran, former small business owner, and a lifelong resident of Macon County. I remember when Illinois thrived as a state, touting its agriculture, workers, businesses, and more. The last 8 years have been particularly tough, though, under Sue Scheer, Mike Madigan, and the Chicago Machine. We need to get serious about solving our budget crisis, protecting our small businesses, growing jobs, and fixing ethics in our state government. I'm asking for your vote for me, Charlie McGorry, on November 3rd.
Paid for by friends of Charlie McGorry.
You've heard of United Way, but do you know the impact they have on our community? Find out more about the United Way and why your involvement is so important. Every Thursday at 8:30 a.m. on Byers & Company with the United Way Update. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois is working for a community in which everyone has the opportunity to be self-sufficient, whether that be ensuring that no family goes hungry, a child succeeds in school, or emergency and crisis assistance is always available. Listen to the United Way Update every Thursday, presented by Tate and Lyle. Improving lives for generations.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the company. These days, our homes do so much. I mean, think about it. They're remote offices, movie theaters, even virtual shopping malls. And Xfinity Internet keeps it all running smoothly with the speed to power all your devices at once. So while the kids are video gaming away, you can video chat with ease. And with coverage throughout your home, you can internet wherever, whenever. Xfinity Internet keeps your home humming with reliable speed and coverage. Now, that's simple, easy, awesome. Xfinity delivers gig speeds to more homes than anyone. Check out our amazing offers on packages with gig or get started with Internet for $25 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, ask about Xfinity Complete for unlimited data, whole home Wi-Fi, and more. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. Ends 11-22-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet, 25 Mbps. Customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change after term. Regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed. World War II hero died over the weekend at the age of 95. His name was Jim Friesel, and he lived in Alabama. He's the guy that drove the tank over the gates at the Dachau concentration camp in Nazi Germany on April 29th, 1945, to liberate prisoners from that concentration camp. And in a video interview project, in something called the Decatur Daily, Decatur, Alabama, 2015, on the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, Friesel recalled the moment his commanding officer told him to break through the gate. "We were facing the front gate of the prison. He said, 'Jim, put the tank through that gate.' So I had the dubious honor of doing that, immediately glancing over at the bodies, stacked it like wood. And this young 19-year-old just about lost it." You think about the moment of history of being there as a 19-year-old, driving a tank through the gates of a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. And he talks about an emaciated inmate walking up to him, looking like a skeleton. And you think about what this 19-year-old man witnessed in that moment in history. And how he was met by one of these prisoners in this concentration camp who said, "I think you were sent by God." And I think of The Greatest Generation, as Tom Brokaw coined
that phrase about these men and women who together as a nation, as a world, stood up to this incredible evil and was able to overcome. And I can't help but compare to like our response to sort of what we're doing now today in the whiniest of ways, in the most complacent and complaining kind of way, and think we pale in comparison to this generation. I mean, do you think a 19-year-old, 1945, had this incredible worldview or understanding the geopolitical nature of stopping tyranny and Nazism and oh, they're thousands of miles from home and sacrificing and not, I mean, do you think that they were better equipped or had what, something in the water? I don't know. No, they just toughened up and battened down and did the right thing. Supported on all fronts and back home and women going to factories. And today, well, what do you mean my football game can't start on time? What do you mean I have to wear a mask, infringe on my liberties? It's embarrassing. I often wondered where I had one speech that I had to give to a public audience that made me nervous in the last 24 years. Not bragging, just saying you go in and you do this every day, talking just gets to be sort of a habit, right? And you don't get nervous about getting in front of crowds or being up in front of people. But there was a speech at the Chamber Thanksgiving luncheon, which we will not have this year for the first time ever. And here's the irony of ironies. Dick Durbin was the invited speaker, but I was on backup. And of course, being Dick Durbin, the backup was necessary. But it was November of 2001, a month and a half after 9/11. And it took on a whole different meaning. It wasn't just sort of, let's do this one clap and for this we give thanks kind of thing. It was, our nation had been attacked and over 3,000 people were killed and we were still reeling from all of this. And I felt like this felt different than anything I'd done publicly. And I remember specifically writing the speech and wondering about the greatest generation, wondering about the Jim Friesel of Alabama's of the world that met this challenge and met this incredible evil and had the wherewithal and the indomitable spirit to defeat it. And how I had watched my generation on that day in September run into buildings and run against the crowd and die in large numbers, saving other people. And I felt like we had done the same thing. And it mattered. And I look at where we are today as a nation, as a people, as a country, and I'm mostly just embarrassed. I'm mostly just embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by leadership, or lack of. I'm embarrassed by the politicians that want you to vote for them but treat you with such disdain. I'm embarrassed by our reaction to a pandemic. That the idea that if you just blame China or tell people to not worry about it, it's going to go away. And I'm embarrassed by the people that feed into that. That's not what 19-year-old Jim Friesel was doing when he drove that tank through the concentration camp to liberate those prisoners. Kudos for a life well lived. We'll take a break. Back after stories and news. Stay tuned.
This is Shiloh with your stories now, brought to you by Huff Home Specialties, your best home investment. October 19th through the 23rd is Manufacturing Week in Macon County. Every October, U.S. manufacturing is celebrated with events throughout the month. The celebration is to help illustrate the reality of modern manufacturing careers by encouraging companies as well as educational institutions around the country to open their doors for people to see how important manufacturing is firsthand. Over the next decade, the United States will have an estimated 4.6 million manufacturing jobs that will need to be filled. For more on Manufacturing Week in Macon County, go to nowdecatur.com. Decatur Rotary Club 180 will be hosting a community blood drive in partnership with the Community Blood Services of Illinois. The drive will be from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 27th at the Decatur Family YMCA. Blood collected during the donation will be distributed to area hospitals. Everyone that makes a donation will receive a $5 gift card or retro-inspired t-shirt. Masks and photo IDs will be required. For information on registration, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says he wants Attorney General Bill Barr to appoint an investigator to look into Joe Biden's business dealings. In light of emails, the New York Post reports are from his son Hunter Biden's computer.
He's got to act, and he's got to act fast. He's got to appoint somebody. This is major corruption, and this has to be known about before the election.
The president on Fox and Friends. Pennsylvania voters have a little more time to mail back ballots. State Republicans trying to stop that losing the Supreme Court.
The 4-4 decision means that Pennsylvania will be allowed to count mailed-in ballots that are received up to 3 days after the November 3rd election. Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the liberal judges in upholding a state Supreme Court ruling that required county election officials to count ballots that arrive up until November 6th, as long as there's not proof it was mailed after the polls closed.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
When you hear paid for by friends at Sue Scheer, that means paid for by Mike Madigan. You see, Sue Scheer has taken almost $1 million from Mike Madigan over the last 8 years. In fact, almost all of Sue Scheer's support comes from Madigan and his allies. A vote for Sue Scheer is a vote to keep Madigan in power. We cannot afford this corruption anymore. Don't let Mike Madigan buy the seat again.
Hi, I'm Charlie McGorry, retired Decatur firefighter, military veteran, former small business owner, and a lifelong resident of Macon County. I remember when Illinois thrived as a state, touting its agriculture, workers, businesses, and more. The last 8 years have been particularly tough, though, under Sue Scheer, Mike Madigan, and the Chicago Machine. We need to get serious about solving our budget crisis, protecting our small businesses, growing jobs, and fixing ethics in our state government. I'm asking for your vote for me, Charlie McGorry, on November 3rd.
Paid for by Friends of Charlie McGorry.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we have a chance of some afternoon rain, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 58. And tonight showers, maybe thunderstorms expected, and cloudy with a low around 49. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 64, and Thursday, sunny with a high near 80. And wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 46 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:32.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I feel like we've had a disproportionate amount of rush bumps lately. I'm just saying. Good morning and welcome. I can't stand their music. I love the documentary about the band, though. If you haven't seen that.
Just on standby.
Is it just on standby?
That one was.
Rush is just your go-to, huh?
Yeah, I suppose.
I love it. I'll give you some entertainment options here in just a couple of minutes. Right now, it's time to head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Jamie Bruner, who is standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. Following a sharp sell-off during the afternoon, the Dow closed down 410 points to 28,195. Investor confidence was eroded as worldwide coronavirus infections passed the 40 million mark and as discord was reported within the coronavirus task force. Also, the continued lack of movement surrounding an economic stimulus bill weighed heavily on the market. In European trading, the London FTSE was up 0.35% and the DAX in Frankfurt was up 0.32%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was down 0.44%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was down 1/32nd, yielding 0.782%. Gold futures were down $2.70 at $1,909.10. Crude oil futures were up 13 cents at $40.96 a barrel. Right now, the Dow is trading at 28,314, a positive 111 points. ADM at 5063, Ameren 8209, Caterpillar 168.22, Norfolk Southern 214.34, PPG 134.04, Tate & Lyle 33.07, and Mueller Water 11.12. And lyricist Paulo Coelho once said, "If everybody loves you, something is wrong. Find at least one enemy to keep you alert." This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. All right, Aaron Sorkin's got a new movie on Netflix that I watched over the weekend.
Which one is that?
The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh, yeah, that one's saved for us to watch this week. How was that?
It was pretty good. You're going to get people going, "Oh, my God, Brian, now you're taking up for the hippies and the yippies and the protest moment." It's just, it's a movie.
Yeah, you watched an Alan Sorkin movie. That's that.
Aaron.
Oh, what did I say, Alan?
Yeah. Yeah, Alan's the cousin.
Right. Aaron's, goodness.
And I am not a Sacha Cohen, or whatever his
Baron
name is,
Cohen
fan.
I'm a huge fan of
Lindsay is too. I'm not. I'm not a hater. I'm not. His shtick doesn't do anything for me. But he's brilliant as Abby Hoffman in this movie.
Oh, sir. Oh, you know what?
You don't even see him.
I forgot that he was going to be in this. And in 3 days, he's got his Borat 2 coming to Prime.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. But he disappears. You don't see him in this role. He is completely believable as Abby Hoffman.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is the story of course, what is always old always comes back, kind of our life right now as we know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happening again. The anti-Vietnam War protesters, the clash with the Chicago Police Department at the Democratic National Convention. By the way, you can go back to 1968 and there was still a Democrat running Chicago and the streets still look like they do in 2020 with still a Democrat running Chicago's. This isn't about politics to me. It's more about just a story.
Mm-hmm.
And how the government overreached. I mean, they did. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Justice Department and the Attorney General under LBJ did not want to prosecute these 7, 8, if you include Bobby Seale, which is a whole other story. But then when Nixon was elected, they said, "Nope, we're going to go forward with this." And you can see from clearly what happened. You know, they were convicted, and then it was overturned in the appeal. They won. But it's an incredible cast. So not only does Sacha Baron Cohen show up, but so does Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so does Michael Keaton, so does Frank Langella.
Oh, man.
Eddie Redmayne, you know, and on and on and on. And it's pretty quick, it's a movie that goes by fast, you know, like those kind of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty entertaining.
Oh, that's awesome. That's even a little better than I was expecting.
Well, Aaron Sorkin originally wrote the screenplay for this in 2007, and Steven Spielberg was going to direct a film with unknown actors. And then anyway, there was the strike with the Writers Guild, and then all that got, you know, it's always amazing the story in and of itself of just how a product ends up getting to you.
Yeah, I love those stories. You find people that buy the rights to certain things, like the Farley brothers ended up with the rights to the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
It's like, what? How'd that happen?
Now, here's the thing. This was originally planned by Paramount Pictures to be a theatrical release. And because of the pandemic, they sold the distribution rights to Netflix. Now, we've talked about this
mm-hmm.
a lot, right?
Yep.
How does this end up happening as far as our consumptions and our patterns are good. And so I can't imagine any stretch of the imagination go see this at a theater, but I watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, that didn't seem like a needed to be a theater movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It's just the theater adds something to specific movies. And I don't know that needed that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their own definition of that.
Right, for sure.
It's worth watching. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, awesome.
It's pretty amazing when you think about everything that's going on. I found this show about, I'm not an MMA fan.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Why is it, it feels very 1990s or early 2000s to me.
It doesn't translate well to the masses because there's a couple major points. First, it can be extremely gruesome and brutal.
The gruesome doesn't bother me. If two adults want to get in a ring and do that to each other, that's up to them.
The second thing is there's no outcome that is expected. You know, it could end in 5 seconds. It could be people dancing around for 15 minutes. The pageantry doesn't always deliver.
Okay. I feel like the following is a kind of a meathead following, and so there I feel like I need to reject that a little bit.
Yeah, it is predominantly that. It's, you know, certain fan bases around certain sports tend to be the overwhelming majority. There's some nuanced fighter fans, but by and large, it's like, yeah, kick him, punch him, and that's what you get.
So I feel like it's kind of like I got an Affliction t-shirt and some flip-flops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm totally stereotyping, and I realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking on Netflix this weekend, and I've come across this television show that's called Kingdom that I think was originally called Navy Street.
I don't know that one.
I didn't either. But evidently, it was originally on the Audience Network, then DirecTV.
Mm-hmm. Which is their channel.
Yeah. Yep. And Frank Grillo, who plays, you know, what's his face in the Avengers and Captain America movies.
Oh, yeah.
Is the lead. And it is a story. Nick Jonas, one of the Jonas Brothers, is in this. Matt Lauria and this other guy whose name is Jonathan Tucker that you wouldn't know, but you recognize immediately as one of the true bad guys, Unjustified, and was in the Showtime series with Kevin Bacon. And it's about that Frank plays this former MMA star who runs a gym in Venice Beach. He's got a couple of kids that are screwed up. One's got a drug addict. There's problems and all the stuff. Guy gets out of prison. And it's really entertaining. And there's like 3 seasons of this thing that I didn't even know existed.
Oh, that's cool.
But how is it that we still live in these microcosms? I mean, of entertainment. How does 3 seasons of something escape my radar completely? Partly because it was DirecTV. But then it ends up finding a rebirth on Netflix.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you listed a star as big as like one of the Jonas Brothers. How does it not even a blip, you know? It's like, I mean,
still a big deal?
Yeah, they are a big deal, but they're branching out into acting and stuff. I mean, they're still A or B level celebrities.
He's a pretty good actor. He is not a distraction, I should say. You know, him in the show doesn't feel like I got this guy out of a band who wants to dabble in acting. He seems to hold his own.
Yeah.
It's pretty entertaining.
That's cool. I'll check it out.
Called Kingdom, and it's kind of gritty, you know.
I like that.
I do too.
Is it in the vein of like Rocky or the season in The Wire with the guy that went on to be in The Walking Dead, but he was the boxing sort of mentor?
I would say that's kind of close.
Okay.
That's ballpark.
Okay.
It's sort of gritty, kind of the love of the game, mm-hmm. macho, kind of everybody dealing with getting old and what's new. And, you know, I mean, the themes that everyone can relate to.
All right, cool.
I got 2 kids. One of them's a screw-up, right? The other one, you know. And you throw in some gangs and some other side stories, and yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
I've watched 3 episodes. You know, there's like 30 episodes or whatever. So it's worth watching.
It's like mining for gold on these streaming services.
It's not even gold. You know, I mean, it's some lesser value of thing.
I'm not saying gold nuggets. It might be you sluicing and you got those little flakes
sluicing.
And you're like, hey, there it is.
Sluicing. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's worth $7.
Which is worth more than whatever, right?
Yeah, worth more than what fell through the cracks.
Yeah. So check that out if you want. The Trial of the Chicago 7. And I guess maybe I had a little less respect for Sacha Baron Cohen as an actor than maybe I should have given him credit for.
Yeah, he plays a lot of silly roles, but he also has the ability
to
dial
as the comedian, the Ali G thing, I mean, and then the other stuff, I just, it wasn't, for whatever, it missed the mark with me.
It plays very dumb, but it's very intellectual what he's doing most of the time with that. But he does have the chops to be a very, very good actor. And he sells, he goes all the way.
Yeah.
He's all
in. And The Spy or whatever that show is called, I've not watched that. But as Abbie Hoffman, he is unrecognizable in this role. Like, there's nothing about it. In fact, if they didn't give you credits at the front of it and I didn't tell you, I'm not sure you would even be able to go, that's...
Oh, wow. And no accent or anything?
Well, the accent was very much New York Jewish accent.
But he got that?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Another photo you might want to check out on that exact topic is Colin Farrell, who's going to be the Penguin. Not even close
I
to...
I saw that.
Can you even believe that?
No. And I'm not sure I do.
Right.
I mean, he's either, like, lived really hard, like, which we know he has, or that's just, like, complete... not CGI, but, you know, the makeup trailer. I mean, right. He's got to spend like 5 hours a day in makeup.
Yeah, I somehow went to bed the other night super late watching The Recruit with Al Pacino and Colin Farrell.
As a young guy.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty solid movie. I mean, for popcorn, I enjoyed it.
Now, he is very much, I've seen recent pictures of him, like, with gray hair, which looks a little odd. Because he's one of those guys that got old with you. You didn't realize he was getting old.
Yeah.
And he is in the new Batman movie, which is now filming again in Chicago, I guess.
Yeah.
Playing the Penguin?
Mm-hmm.
Are they throwing like 800 villains at this thing again?
I don't think so. I do think they're at least alluding to them because in the trailer,
Riddler, the Joker, the Penguin.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to work.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm bullish on this one. I think it's going to be a solid movie. I'm hoping.
Anyway. I would hope so, too. I don't have any reason to root against it. I just wonder how many Batmans do we really, really, really need?
I assure you we're not even there yet.
And then did I read over the weekend Ben Affleck's coming back?
I think so.
In the Flash movie or whatever?
Yeah. I'll take it. I don't care.
Do you think that's really Colin? I mean, I've looked at this picture now like 20 times.
Yeah, I think it's him.
And I cannot see him in it at all.
Yeah, it's tough to see him in there. He's, I guess he's going pretty method on this.
I think his acting abilities have always been a little over-exaggerated.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a movie that he was tremendous in.
I'll have to look at my list because there's a couple times where I've been really excited by his role. But sometimes he's just playing Colin Farrell, and that works, if that makes sense.
I'm not saying that he was okay in. I'm saying give me kind of like an award-winning performance.
Oh, I don't know that he has. He might have won. In Bruges? Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have to do some digging.
I'm not a hater.
No.
I'm just saying he sleptwalked through Miami Vice.
That's
which had
sure.
all the potential in the world, right?
Yeah.
You had Michael Mann coming back. You had
Jamie Foxx.
You had all of the ability to make that great. And he was literally the weakest point of that
for
entire
sure.
movie.
I did like him in True Detective, but I know a lot of people did not.
Oh, that was the bad season, right?
Yeah. But I still liked it for what it – I mean, it's – I like The Godfather 3 also.
Yeah.
But
that's a good example.
Yeah, but I know it's not the other two.
So you would say like his performance in the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie as Bullseye wouldn't be on your list?
No, that wasn't very good at all. Phone Booth was very good with Kiefer Sutherland. That was a pretty solid.
I don't remember that one. That was he's in the phone booth on the phone with like whatever.
Yeah, that one was really solid. And then I think he was in the Harry Potter movies, the later ones.
He was?
Not in the ones that are the Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he does solid for what he does. I'll look at his list and pick out a couple gems.
Okay. You do that. you let me know. You get back to me, and I'll put it on a list.
And shoot them down.
Well, no, I'm just saying I'll put it on a list. I got a long list that's going to go way down to the bottom.
Exactly right.
All right. We'll take a quick break, back with more. We've got a lot to get to still here today. Tomorrow on our Wednesday edition, Senator Andy Menar will be with us. I'm a little confused. The governor said he's going to put more money towards the census, and then the Supreme Court said no, and where are we with that, and then this whole fair tax thing. We'll get into that with the senator tomorrow. Should be fun. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.
When you hear paid for by friends at SouShare, that means paid for by Mike Madigan. You see, SouShare has taken almost $1 million from Mike Madigan over the last 8 years. In fact, almost all of SouShare's support comes from Madigan and his allies. A vote for SouShare is a vote to keep Madigan in power. We cannot afford this corruption anymore. Don't let Mike Madigan buy the seat again.
Hi, I'm Charlie McGorry, retired Decatur firefighter, military veteran, former small business owner, and a lifelong resident of Macon County. I remember when Illinois thrived as a state, touting its agriculture, workers, businesses, and more. The last 8 years have been particularly tough, though, under Sue Shearer, Mike Madigan, and the Chicago Machine. We need to get serious about solving our budget crisis, protecting our small businesses, growing jobs, and fixing ethics in our state government. I'm asking for your vote for me, Charlie McGorry, on November 3rd.
Paid for by friends of Charlie McGorry.
You've heard of United Way, but do you know the impact they have on our community? Find out more about the United Way and why your involvement is so important. Every Thursday at 8:30 a.m. on Byers & Company with the United Way Update. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois is working for a community in which everyone has the opportunity to be self-sufficient, whether that be ensuring that no family goes hungry, a child succeeds in school, or emergency and crisis assistance is always available. Listen to the United Way Update every Thursday, presented by Tate and Lyle. Improving lives for generations.
Emergencies can happen at any moment. That's why at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, we have specially trained emergency medicine physicians, registered nurses, and other specialists available 24/7 who provide timely treatment with the utmost care. We are always ready. Ready to save your life. Ready to ease your pain. Ready to calm your fears. Ready to care for you today and every day. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. Always ready.
Update your home with beautiful custom cabinets from Dura Supreme. Our complimentary custom design includes pricing and renderings to keep you within budget. And with a broad selection of woods and colors to choose from, you can have it all.
A plumber and home specialties. Who says you can't have it all?
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
There you go. A little journey for the journey home. Our last few minutes of the show. Good morning and welcome. We're a couple of weeks from Election Day. And as Nick mentioned earlier, I don't know what that number is up to, 30-plus million early votes, mail-in ballots.
I think I heard 31. When I said that, I was just sort of assuming based on the momentum it had been gaining, million, 2 million, 3. It turns out 31-plus million already.
Yeah, that will change even today, and we'll see what happens. And there was a Supreme Court decision allowing extra time for mail-in voting in Pennsylvania. We'll get into all of that and what it means. Just do your thing. I mean, this is your responsibility as an American citizen to go out and vote.
It's also your opportunity to say and be heard to some degree. This is your chance.
I don't think to some degree. I think it's to all degrees. I mean, it's the only degree.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's better put than I said. Absolutely.
And I would encourage everyone out there. I think I'm going to early vote instead of the mail-in ballot. I mean, not for any particular reason. That's my plan.
Yeah, I think my family is going to get the mail-in votes and then drop them off physically.
That's what Lindsay did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for whatever reason, if you don't have faith in the postal service or whatever, you know, you just want to have that knowledge of, yes, I put it there and someone accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah, it's not knowing what the crowd situation is for some at higher risk
no
parties.
Doubt.
That's why we're going that route.
All right. I wanted to get to one last thing today because I was curious about this. NASA announced in the last few days that they had partnered with Nokia, which I thought was an interesting mm-hmm. partnership, right?
Yeah.
To launch the 4G phone network on the moon. Mm-hmm. I'm really, like, all in on this whole thing. And if you're out watching The Right Stuff on Nat Geo through Disney Plus, you really need to because it's very, very, very good.
Yeah, that's an A-plus show so far.
Oh, it's fantastic. There's only, like, three episodes mm-hmm. in. There's new ones, new episodes every Friday.
Right.
I get so excited about Friday because I get Long Way Up and I get The Right Stuff. I get a new episode of each.
See why it works? Because you're excited about it.
Yeah, but that still sucks. I want all of it up front. But, yes, anyway. So why 4G, not 5G, if you're going to launch something on the moon?
I'm assuming that it's more of a tried and true platform. That would just be my guess. You know, we're still working out some things with 5G and maybe that, you know, a lot of the bands are still up for sale on 5G. So they might have an established network available to them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Nokia had been purchased by Microsoft when they were in the phone business a few years ago and they spun them back out, ripped them of a lot of the patents. And then now Nokia is back into making phones again, but they're on the Android platform.
Interesting.
Yep.
I juxtapose this whole article with the picture that accompanies it, which is astronaut Scott Carpenter on a rotary phone with, like, the cord talking to President Kennedy upon returning from space in 1962. And you think about when you're watching The Right Stuff or you're reading the book or the original movie or the series on National Geographic, and you think about what these guys did.
Right.
It is absolutely stunning when you think about what we're talking about today,
mm-hmm.
building a 4G network on the moon, literally one small step for phones, one giant leap for phone kind, right?
Yeah.
And this LTE network will be up by as late as 2022. They'll be able to call, stream data. I mean, all the stuff you see in the movies and the shows is now becoming a reality. And Elon Musk says Mars in, what, 4 years, 5 years? What did he make?
Yeah, under a handful of years.
And you think, okay, let's get back into doing some great things like this. Because of all the byproduct of everything that happens out of this benefits everyone.
Globally.
Yes. The race for space created so much technology because they just had the ability to sort of, like, let's go plant a flag somewhere.
Exactly right.
And that quest for adventure, I think, still lives in all of us. And maybe that's something we can tackle as a country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm getting less and less confident that we're able to even do that anymore, regardless of the cause. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope that I am. All right. If you missed any of the show today, podcasts are available at Nauticator.com, the Nauticator app, or wherever you get your podcast. Tomorrow morning, Senator Andy Menar among the guests. Wear a mask. Socially distance. Wash your hands.
Vote.
It's kind of your marching orders in this time that we live in. We will be back with you bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll see you then.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Huff Home Specialties, your best home investment. The Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce has released a statement on its membership's position on the progressive income tax. The survey results from the membership show 86% are against, with 14% in favor. Over the next 2 weeks, the Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce will advocate on the behalf of Decatur through their various marketing channels. To see the chamber's statement on the progressive tax, check out nowdecatur.com.
Governor Pritzker has again extended the stay on evictions in Illinois. The governor's office announced the executive order on Friday, and the eviction moratorium will be extended until November 14th. Pritzker's eviction ban is one of the more expansive in the country and contains no means testing mechanism or other documentation on behalf of a tenant to prove a hardship. However, some property owners are still struggling, with the moratorium causing them to pay for property taxes and mortgages. The National Multifamily Housing Council tracks rent payments in more than 11 million properties. The council found...
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.